All right, before we get into today's episode, if you own a home improvement business, listen closely. You didn't start your company to grind 60 hours a week, chasing leads, stressing over jobs, and barely making money. You started it to win, to build freedom, wealth, and a business that actually works for you. That's exactly what Accelerate Live is all about. On February 10th and 11th, we're celebrating the 10th anniversary of Accelerate Live in Clearwater Beach, Florida. And it's going to be our biggest and, dare I say, best event ever. 2 full days of real strategies, powerful workshops, and game-changing conversations with the smartest contractors in the country. This isn't theory, it's what's working right now in lead generation, sales, production, hiring, and profitability. Everything you need to grow faster and smarter in 2026. And let me be clear, listening to this podcast is great, but being at Accelerate Live is where the breakthroughs actually happen. Every year, people leave this event with excitement, a clear plan, new connections, and the confidence to take their business to the next level. But here's the deal. We always sell out. Early bird pricing is available right now. And if you're serious about blowing 2026 out of the water, bring your leadership team. Not only do we have a special breakout session just for them, we've got special discounted pricing as well. Trust me, the more aligned you are, the faster things change. Go to accelerateevent.com, grab your tickets, and use promo code podcast26. Do it now. accelerateevent.com, promo code podcast26. Now let's get into today's episode.
It's funny because people often ask me, where did you get your confidence from? And I know the answer. I faked it. I faked it and then saw that it worked. And then all of a sudden, once I saw that it worked, I wasn't faking it anymore and it was just became me. But there's that starting point. Nobody starts off with confidence. Nobody. You don't wake up and you're born with confidence. Something happened and there's like these stepping stones. Think of little building blocks and that's it. So I pretended like I knew what I was doing. And then all of a sudden other people said, oh my God, he knows what he's doing.
Have you ever felt like there's a secret club of successful contractors and you're left outside? Want in? Well, you just found the entry door. Welcome to the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. Each episode, we pull back the curtain, revealing the stories, strategies, and secrets that top leaders use to grow their home improvement business and enjoy more success, more wealth, and more freedom. Discover more at thewealthycontractor.com. Now let's get into today's episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 250 for the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. And of course, because it's a 50, my guest has to be Brian Elias. Brian?
Oh my God. Welcome. Oh my God. You're so good to me.
You are episode 150, 100, 150. Hold on. I'm doing math. 200. This is your sixth time here. Your sixth time here. Thank you.
No. Thank you. I'm honored. I really am. I swear.
It's funny because I tell people all the time, you know, with the podcast, when I had the idea for the podcast, like, I didn't know, is anybody even going to listen to this thing? And I called my friend Brian and I say, hey, Brian, look, I don't know if anybody's ever going to listen to this thing, but I'd love to have you as my first guest on this new podcast we're going to do called The Wealthy Contractor. And now we're, what, like 6 years? No, more than that. Oh, God, it's been a while. And we're in the top 1% of all podcasts in the world. And, you know, who would have thunk? Millions of downloads over the years, millions of downloads. And it's all because of you.
I don't know about that, but I'm honored to be
the very first episode.
Thank you. You're very kind. If I helped even one person, it was worth my while. That's for sure.
Yes. And listen, from the reports I get, you help a lot of people. So that's a great thing. And that's what we're here, you know, that's what we're here doing. But let's get an update. So for those of you that don't know, Brian had this little company called 1-800-Hansons that he grew into a monster company.
He is an innovator. He's first to almost everything in the industry. He was first to sell to private equity. And then everybody was looked at and said, well, that guy can do it. Shit, we're going to do it too. And now all of a sudden, all these private equity companies are buying up companies. And then you went and started a new company called Refloor. And now you're selling flooring all over the place. So what's going on?
It didn't violate my non-compete.
Yeah. And it was a great business model. And it was interesting. You took an industry that historically is either done through retail. People come in the door, here are my measurements. Here's your price. Do you want it? Do you not want it? Or the rolling trucks would go out and people would show carpet. And it wasn't really a sales thing. It was more of here, it's show and tell. And if somebody's bought, they bought. If somebody didn't buy, and it's hard to build a big business that way. But what you did was you took everything that you learned building the one of the largest home improvement businesses in the country. You brought sales systems, marketing systems, strategy into a business that really didn't have much of that before you came along. I mean, a few people were doing it.
Right. We're out there. I mean, I picked a product because really it's truth. It didn't violate my non-compete. Other than that, I mean, there's so many good products out there right now to sell. I would love to people like, well, isn't flooring great? Well, you got to do twice as much work because the average ticket is about half as much. But again, we'll just do a lot of jobs and that's how we're going to do it. And it's been a fun ride because I crossed off a lot of my mistakes, Brian. And there were a lot of them that I made the first time around that I now know better today.
Yeah, which is awesome. And your solution to everything is, well, let's just go sell more.
Unfortunately, it seemed to work out for me, thank God.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're one of the few people that can actually pull that strategy off. There aren't a whole lot of people that can do that.
No, you have to know your numbers.
You got to know your number. So, but before we get into like stuff like that, tell me about Refloor. How many markets are you in now?
We're opening our 15th market. I believe it's this week.
Wow. How many states?
I'm going to say 12 states.
Wow. Get that.
Yeah. Because there's some of the states that have little crossovers and into other states. So,
sure. About how many jobs per week?
A lot. I could tell you this, that we'll probably sell 50 today. So
yeah. So there you go. Yeah. 60, so yeah. 250, 1,000, more than 1,000 a month, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of jobs, but we're having the time of our lives. This is a lot of fun. For the people that don't know, I work with my son and that's my pride and joy. So I get to go to work and see my kid every day. So I love that. I mean, it's like a parent's dream come true because I'm sure at some point my son is saying, oh God, my dad every day, you know, seeing your dad, but he truly is my best friend and we have a good time working together.
Yeah. And he's such a cool kid.
And there's nothing better than being outsmarted by your kid. You know, you don't want the rest of the world outsmarting you. But when your son outsmarts you, you look up at God and you say, I did good. Yeah. And I love that. I really do. It brings tears to my eyes just thinking about.
Yeah. That's a beautiful thing. I'm happy for you. You know, 2 weeks ago, we were in DC to move my daughter out and send her off to overseas. And it's hard. It's hard. I mean, it was hard enough having her in DC. That was a 2-hour flight. It was easy. But now she's way, way over there. And it's tough.
How's she doing out there?
She loves it. You know, she loves her career and she's driven. She's very ambitious. And so we'll see how, you know, we'll see how the whole thing plays out. You know, as parents, what do we have to do? We got to be supportive and we got to say, okay, you know, you go find your own path. You know, she's not, you know, she's off the payroll, been off the payroll for a long time. But you know, it's not the same as having them around.
It isn't, but you know, it's nice. It's nice to know that you've raised a child that can leave the country.
Yeah.
Be okay.
And be okay.
And that's success. I mean, yeah. It really is. It's darn impressive.
Yeah.
It really is. So I'm going to ask you a question for the podcast, and your kids will listen to this one day. Tell me what lesson you want your kids to know, or you taught your kids that made a difference in your life or in their life.
You know, the biggest lesson, Brian, is believe in yourself. And I learned that, a lot of that, from people like you.
Thank you.
Because if you don't believe in yourself, I could believe in you. You could borrow it from me for a little while. You believed in me, and that meant a lot to me. And I borrowed that, and I got to use that to then build that belief in myself. And I think that's one of the most important things in life is just believing in yourself.
And it's funny because people often ask me, and I think you've asked me in the past, where did you get your confidence from? And I know the answer. I faked it.
Yeah.
I faked it and then saw that it worked. And then all of a sudden, once I saw that it worked, I wasn't faking it anymore, and it was just became me. But there's that starting point. Nobody starts off with confidence. Nobody. You don't wake up and you're born with confidence. Something happened and there's like these stepping stones. Think of little building blocks and that's it. So I pretended like I knew what I was doing. And then all of a sudden other people said, oh my God, he knows what he's doing. And
yeah.
And if I could teach that to people, is just believe in you. People are like, how do you sell? It's easy. It's easy. My job is to solve people's problems. And if I could prove beyond a reasonable doubt that I am the person or the company to solve their problems, they're going to hire me. So every sales call that I did, I thought of myself as on a big, giant job interview. And when I sold, I'm like, yes, I got hired. And when I didn't sell, I'm like, what did I do to mess this up? I never blamed it on the customer. I always blamed it on me because it's my job to figure out how to maneuver to earn that customer's business. And you'll hear your sales reps say all the time, oh, this customer that and this customer that. The truth is you weren't able to prove the value to your customer. You have to be able to recognize that. If you can't admit fault, you can't grow. And that's why you have people that close at 35% and you have some people that close at 65%. And the reason why is those people at the 65% level figure out a way to prove to that customer they're the ones to do business with. And those people I commend, I really do, because those are valuable life lessons when you can prove yourself to others and they see the value in you.
Yeah. I was having a conversation last week. We were talking about confidence. And the way you develop confidence, too, is through courage. Because you had to have the courage to do the things that you did to build the confidence. So the courage came first. And then that helped to build your confidence. And I sometimes mess that up, you know, because you got to be courageous in order to build that confidence.
I was afraid of being poor. And you think I'm kidding. I wish I was even joking. And I knew you were going to laugh, but it's true.
You have
I
an
was
aversion.
Afraid of being
yes,
the
you
poor
have an aversion
person.
To it. Yeah, yeah.
My parents, I mean, I remember having our electricity shut off in our house because my father couldn't afford to pay the bill and he had nobody to go to. And I always said I wouldn't let that happen to me. So I was truly afraid of failure because my father worked his butt off trying to be successful and never quite figured it out. But what he was successful is he built a great family with the values of hard work. And I took a look at some of the things he did. You know, he was all about building products and figured people would love his products if he built them. And what he didn't realize that even those great products still need to be sold. It, you know, there's that movie, Field of Dreams, build it and they will come. What I learned is they're not coming unless you make them come. So that's the things that I learned along the way. And those are lessons my father taught me, because I learned just as much from the things he wasn't successful in, but the things that he also was. And he was very successful at putting his family first. And that's what I've done in my whole career. When I got divorced, I had my son half the time or more, and I was lucky enough to be able to spend that kind of time with him. So we built an unshakable bond.
Yeah, that's cool. So business stuff. Let's talk about some business stuff. Although I like this conversation, although I'm not sure everybody wants to listen to you and I having a personal discussion, or maybe they do. I don't know. Maybe we'll save that for episode 300. You're the king of marketing. What are you doing to drive thousands of leads every week, probably, right?
We're going back to some basics. We just restarted shows and events, which I got away from. And I'm seeing that the leads are much more challenging now than it was even a year or two ago, because the online is, people are getting bored with it, and I don't think they're responding quite as good as they used to. So I think we have to get back to the basics of that face-to-face marketing. So we're starting with shows and events. We're going to set up a sweepstakes again. So get a bunch of people raising their hand saying, hey, I need to win this. If they need to win it, we have who to market to. So we can create direct mail campaigns and things like that. So we're looking at it. How do we get back to the street type of things? And then the next thing I'm looking at for first quarter next year is canvassing.
Interesting. Really, for flooring.
Why not? A lot of people have gave me the line, well, you can't see it. And I'm like, there's a lot of bathtub companies out there canvassing, and it's not like they're peeping through the window. At least I hope
that's
not.
True. Yeah.
So you knock on the door. Hey, you need to get your bathroom redone. Hey, you need to get your floors redone. Do you need replacement windows? Do you need a new roof? It doesn't matter. It's really just about asking the questions and knocking the door. It's not about what you see. It's about what you ask. And you can't be afraid to ask the questions. And I think that a lot of people are just afraid to do the work of knocking on those doors.
You have a great kind of, I think whether you see it this way or not, the way I kind of see it with you is you have an internal checklist for marketing. It's in order for you to put something out there, it's got to hit certain psychological triggers. Do you want to talk about what some of those are for you? Because you're very good at getting people to want you to come and give them a price.
I want you to look at it this way. I want you to imagine that you and I are on a fishing boat.
Okay.
And we have our rod, we have our reel. What you really need is not those two things. You need the bait. So what are you attracting the fish with? And a lot of people use something they call lures. If you think of your advertising like you think of fishing lures, and not every fishing lure is going to attract the same fish. So you have to change your lure out to attract a different type of fish. And I hope that people will get the analogy of what I'm saying.
It's a good one.
When your lure's not working, change your lure. Okay? It's not that your advertising is broken. It's the message in your advertising that's broken. And so if you can change those things out and recognize when it's not working and take action quickly as you're fishing there, you're going, oh, I've been fishing here an hour and the fish aren't interested. Well, some people say, let's find another spot. There's no fish down there. We know there's the fish down there. We just didn't attract the fish that are down. And that's how I see advertising.
So your offers are critical.
Before you get to the offer, this is a mistake that everybody makes. They're like, we're having a big sale, 75% off plus this and this and a lot of big stuff. That's like saying they want to, you know, hook up before they date. Okay. You have to romance them first. You have to like, here I am. I can solve your problems. And so you have to talk about what their problems are first. So with a roof, your shingles are tired. They're curling. So you know that that leaky roof is coming. Do you want to get in front of it or do you want it to get in front of you? Take control of your home now. So now you're engaging them, recognizing what their problem is. And I think that's real important. I don't think people romance the consumer the way they need to be romanced. So you have to talk about the problems that they're going to solve for by using you. Okay? Feel the cold coming in your windows? Thinking you can't sell your house without getting the work done? You're right. But what if you could just snap your fingers right now and those windows were replaced? Pick up the phone and call 1-800-HANSONS right now, and we're going to make that happen for you. Now, that will be effective if you can get that type of message across.
Yeah, it's about emotionally connecting with somebody, showing them that you understand them, you understand their problem, you understand who they are. You've probably done it here before, but I've always loved the focus on mom.
Everything is mom. So you think about it, you know, it's somebody who's doing bathrooms. I know bathrooms are a big thing. And I mean, my old company now sells bathrooms, and I really didn't do much with it when I was in the business. But imagine you want to have people over to your house. It's holiday time. And you love your house, but you think about your bathroom and your guests going in there, and they see this old, tired bathtub, and you're embarrassed. So you simply don't invite people over for that holiday when you know you want to. Change that bathroom in just one day by picking up the phone and calling 1-800-HANSONS now. Make that bathroom beautiful. One day, one call, and it's all half off today. I mean, it's a beautiful thing.
By the way,
did
you just pull that out of your ass right now?
Everything I've said so far, including the fishing lures I made up just now, never.
But here's the thing. But here's the thing, though. For people listening, listen to the words he's using and the tone of it. Now, that works TV, radio, any environment where you could use video or they can hear audio. The challenge is, how do you take that and convert it to a direct mail piece, to a website, to anywhere where you have a Google ad where you have to use words.
Okay.
But what I'm going to say, though,
by your Brian, bathroom. Yeah. That would be the headline.
Yeah. Yeah. But whatever you put out front has to have that behind it.
Yes.
And that's hard to do. That's very hard to do.
What if I told you it's exactly the opposite? It's easy to do if you think about it.
Okay.
What is
the
problem that they're solving? Okay. They have an ugly, old, tired bathtub. Embarrassed by your old, tired bathtub? Have it gone and replaced in just one day. Okay. Mm-hmm. With FastBath. FastBath is here to change your life. Click here.
Yeah.
FastBath is made up too.
We just made up a new company. FastBath.
Yes, yes. I'll be in the bath business.
You probably owned 1-800 FastBath too.
Yeah, not yet, but I'm looking forward to it. So, yeah.
Before this airs.
To me, it's all of the same thing. It's about that emotional connection, because mom takes pride in her house and she's embarrassed when her house doesn't meet the standards of herself and or her friends or her mother. So we all want to think we don't do things for validation, but we do. We care what the people around us think. And that's what we want to make sure that we're expressing to our customers, is we feel your pain. Okay. And that's okay. That's really what it comes down to, is you have to feel their pain. Let them know you can empathize with that pain, and then get rid of their pain right now. And You have to figure out how to get in front of all their other pains that they have in their life, because there's an endless supply of pains. So I, not only do you have to get in front of your competitors, you've got to get in front of all the things that also are in the way. So if somebody's buying furniture, they're not buying floors. If there's somebody buying a roof, they're not buying floors. If somebody's buying a bathroom, they're not buying floors. So you're not just beating your own business in the field you're in. You're beating where they put their disposable income. So you really got to make sure your message is effective. And effective is making sure you're connecting with that mom.
Well, and I think, again, I'm going to go back to what I said earlier, is I think that that's tough for people. I think that we don't sit down and really feel the pain of our customer. And that's what you just did, was the pain. Mom feels a pain that in this case, she's embarrassed. She's going to have people over, but she's not going to have people over because, oh, the hallway bathroom, you know, is just, it's ugly. I can't let people use that. The other bathroom down the hall is even worse than that one. The bedroom one is even worse. So you have to connect with that and then be able to create a message that connects with mom at a gut level, you know, in here, not in here, you know, not in her head. You got to appeal to her heart.
100% connecting to their heart, or I call it connecting to them emotionally.
Yeah, because emotionally.
You have to turn those thoughts into feelings. Yes, you can recognize your bathroom's ugly, okay, and that's easy to say. But when you use the word embarrassed, uncomfortable having people over, embarrassed to have guests, when you're using those words, you're really digging into who they are. And because people genuinely want to be proud of where they live, that's how we make a living every day, is making people's homes better. And we think of it as just a lead and a sale. But really, we're enhancing their life. And if you start viewing it that way, it makes it easy to talk about their problem. But this is what I see in advertising all the time, Brian. We've been in business for 25 years. We're located at 5th and Main. We're this. We've done 2,000 jobs. None of those things are talking to mom's emotions. These are things where you're talking about yourself. Or they'll put their kids and their family and their dog in their commercial. They'll go, oh, people love dogs. No, people like people that solve their problems. And if you happen to put your dog in, but you're solving their problem, they'll like you more. And those are the things that people have to realize, is you have to really empathize. And I think that's where people just don't get it. They're too busy wanting the validation from their friends that saw them in an ad instead of the leads that came in.
Hey, let me ask you something real. You've been tuning in, picking up real ideas, maybe even implementing some of them. But there's a whole other level of growth that happens when you're actually in the room with real business owners, with millionaire mentors, getting real answers, solving real problems live. That's what the Wealthy Contractor Success Society is all about. And we're inviting a few guests to join us for Discovery Day at our next intensive. This is a chance to experience the Success Society from the inside and see if it's the right fit. You'll sit in on real mastermind sessions, watch live hot seats. You'll hear from owners doing 8 and 9 figures who've been where you are and figured it out. And here's the real benefit nobody talks about enough. When you get in the right room, you buy speed. What might take you months or years to figure out on your own, you can shortcut in just a couple of days. The right answers, the right people, the right moves now. Here's the deal. We keep it small. You've got to qualify. But if you're serious, we want to talk to you. Go to theentrydoor.info. Book a call to learn more. No pressure, no obligation. Just a real conversation to see if it's the right fit. If it is, we'll get you in the room. Theentrydoor.info. Let's stop waiting. Let's go faster. All right, let's get back to the show.
And this is also goes to, how are you spending your time as a business owner? Are you running around chasing fires, reacting to everything that's going on? Or are you able to put some time aside and really think Think about your marketing. Think about your selling system, how you're selling. Think about what's in the way of you making more money in your business. How can you provide a better customer experience? Well, the only way you're going to be able to do that is to stop and think it through and come up with design a new system. Put in you know, pieces into the sales system that, you know, that are going to get people to say, yes, I want that. Grow more value, you know, build more value into the presentation so they don't mind paying $1,000 more than your competition's going to charge them.
It's funny. People are like, oh, the prices. And I look around and 95% of the cars that I see on the road are not the cheapest cars.
Right.
So the consumer isn't looking for what the cheapest car is. They're looking for something that creates value in their life. They're looking for things that make them feel good. And there's nothing more that makes somebody feel good than making their house special and making it a place that they can be proud of. And I think that's if we look at our business and call that what it is, we want to give them something that they can be proud of. And they're going there. You got to remember, after you sell a job and you put it in, okay, especially those bathrooms for sure, they're bringing their girlfriends in. Take a look at my new bathroom. They're proud inside it. And by the way, I've seen some of these before pictures. They have a reason to be proud.
Oh, yeah.
They've made their house special. I mean, some of these ones that I see on TV, they're unbelievably beautiful bathrooms. And I think that's gets lost. And I think selling the dream has got to be something that becomes a part of every business.
Well, and that's what's going to help improve your marketing. It's not always that, oh, this didn't work. It's, you know, you got to look at market message media. You got to look at who are we targeting? What are we saying to them? And how are we getting to them to deliver our message? You're still doing a ton of TV, I would assume.
We're doing some, yes. Yes.
Some?
The problem with TV, first of all, just as many people watch TV as before. Okay? But when we were growing up, Ryan, there was 3 TV stations.
Right. Yeah.
Okay? Now there's 3,000.
Right.
And virtually the same audience. So what's happening is people are consuming media in so many different places. Number one, on their phone. Okay. Number two, on their computer. Number three, streaming. Number four, network TV. So you have to recognize that the same amount of viewers aren't there. The TV commercial prices haven't really gone up all that much. Okay. It's the viewership that's gone down. And it's not that less people are watching, it's they're watching in so many more places.
Yeah.
And I think what happens is business owners, they forget to do the one most important thing they need to do. And that's think every day. To spend time thinking, write down their problem that they're having, and then ask themselves, what would Steve Jobs do? What would Bill Gates do? What would Jeff Bezos do? What would Brian Keskovalsian do? And when you start asking that question, what really smart people would do, Brian Gottlieb, these are some talented individuals, Mark Curry. What would they do with this problem? Well, they would take a piece of paper, they would sit down and they would say, I'm going to ignore the noise. I'm going to write the problem at the top of the page and I'm going to write 20 solutions. Okay, then I'm going to start crossing out the ones that don't make the cut. But I'm not going to write anything because one thought will lead to another thought. And I do this all the time where I'm just doodling a note down and I'll, if something pops in my mind, I write a one or two word thing so I can come back to it so I could say, hey, this is going to make a difference. So right now, I'm trademarking America's 5-star flooring company. Because that's where I want to be. So I think about, and don't bother, I've already applied for it. I'm kidding. But that to me is where I want to go. I want to be that company and I want to be able to proudly say it. You know, I came up with, I'm in flooring. I trademarked, you'll be floored. So Yeah, I mean, it's...
I'm surprised. You know, it's so funny. How has nobody ever come up with that in the flooring business? In the 150 years there's been a flooring business, how does anybody never come up with you'll be floored?
Right. And, you know, internally, our message is, guys, we got to get things done quickly. Let's step on it. Okay. I mean, these are the things that I'm sitting around thinking about. Why? Because I'm working on my business, not in it. And, on half of your podcast, some version of that comes out is people working on their business, not in it. And really, if you spend that kind of time every day just writing down a problem, writing down what you believe potential solutions would be, then work from there. And there's a lot of people that what I call get stuck, you know, that's like spinning their wheels in the mud. If you get to get out of it, you got to think of the dumbest idea first, because sometimes people are going, I don't know how to solve it. I've tried 100 things. And I'm like, okay, tell me two. And 9 out of 10 times they've tried nothing. Most people are afraid of trying new things. I'm afraid of being at a standstill.
Well, and one of the things that I always say to people too, is when you do that, now make sure you have a circle of people that you can go to. And you can say, okay, hey, here's my problem. Here's my potential solutions. What has been your experience? How can you help me shortcut this problem? And I think a lot of people are trying to figure it out themselves, or they don't take the time to think, and they just think, oh, somehow magically these problems are going to go away. But then, you know, a year later, they're in the same spot they were 5 years ago, and they're frustrated. Like, well, how come I haven't moved forward? Well, because you're in it every day. You haven't stopped to think about how do I get myself into a different place.
You're 100% right. And it's really the failure to think, because the hardest thing about being a leader is the ability to think. Leadership is about being able to say, I got to look in the mirror. I don't have a solution for this. What's the solution? What's a common problem you hear? I can't get leads. Okay, well, it's only three things. There's messaging, there's media, okay? And there's, you know, and there's the cost. Okay, so that's it. Those are the three things you got to concern yourself with. And what's your message? Who are you? What problem are you solving for that mom and dad and family? And once you know that, you can talk to them in their language. If you don't know what you're solving for, oh, well, I'm going to get them a new bath. That's great. No, I'm going to make you love your bathroom again. When you bought your house, you loved your house. Then as time went on, you didn't have that same feeling towards your house. What changed? Well, you realize that your bathroom is old and tired. What if you could solve that in simply one day at a mind-blowing half off? Pick up the phone and call Super Bath today. I mean, these are things that you just have to practice doing. And it isn't because I'm smart. It's because while most people get up and watch, you know, get up from the TV when a commercial comes on, I do exactly the opposite. I don't care about the show. I spend my time watching the commercials because yeah. I'm going to get an idea from one of these people. There's people out there. I mean, you look at these people selling the life insurance, selling slip and fall and they're connecting with the people emotionally. And then you have to be saying to yourself, how can I do that in my business? How can I do that in my business? When I was a kid, there was the Ronco chicken maker. Do you remember that, Brian?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Set it and forget it. Yeah. Ron Popeil. Set it and forget it. So what happened was chicken was make a pain in the neck. It was messy and no one wanted to do it. And Ron Popeil says, hey, stick these two plugs on each end, stick it in, push the button, set it and forget it. Okay. And all of a sudden you're like, and it's juicy and delicious. And you're watching them like it. And it looked like it was so easy. If you do the Ron Popeil, okay. And for the people who don't know who Ronco is, I understand that because there are a lot of people who are a lot younger than me. All you have to do is Google it. And I promise you, this guy's been doing this for years. It's connecting that way. This guy was the consummate salesperson. He was brilliant.
Ron Popeil. There's a name I haven't heard in a while. Well, and look, if you go back and listen to the last 15, 20 minutes of this, you got a huge marketing lesson. And right now, so where did we start? when we started talking about business, leads are tougher. Leads, it's so much different than it was even 10 years ago. The landscape is so, so different when it comes to leads. But the one thing that'll never change is, and I'll never forget this, Kennedy taught me this. Marketing is two things. It's psychology and it's math. So you just talked a lot about the psychology of it. And you're right. You can't just put an ad that says, we've been in business since 1964. Who cares? Who cares that you've been in business since 1964? You got to go and now you got to figure out how you're going to connect with you. So we talked all about that. But what about the money part of it? The understanding the numbers and what makes it, what makes something successful? What makes a campaign successful financially for you? Can you talk a little bit about that? Because nobody tracks KPIs like, well, there are a lot of people now that track KPIs like you, but you track the hell out of every number.
I think the message of how you take that customer to the dollars is, you know, I used to call it reducing to the ridiculous. What if you could have that beautiful bath from Fast Bath in one day, all for $129 a month without a penny out of your pocket up front? Think of it, $129 and one day of your time. Pick up the phone and call Fast Bath today. I mean, it's real easy to get there. And if it's not 129, it's 149 or 179, whatever that number is. Give them a real number that they can deal with. And if they can deal with the number, they'll buy from you. And you have to be able to say, because if you say you can install it in one day and you don't give them math, okay, you don't give them numbers, you don't show them it's affordable, you don't show them it's going to fit your budget, you're not getting that lead. I'll see it all the time. People will say, oh, I got a beautiful little bath, call for the bath and get a free quote today. You've just cut yourself way down. Okay, I would guess that anywhere between 50% or greater people need to finance. I read something once, I don't know if it's true, that 90% or 95% of the country cannot come up with $10,000 cash.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and that
yeah.
Might, I don't know if that's exactly true, but
it's pretty damn close. I heard another like shocking figure. I think it's even less than 10,000, believe it or not.
Yeah, but whatever that number is, but you could say to them, all those same people, okay, can you afford $129 a month? And they go, I can. So those are the types of things that you have to really understand. I think what happens as business owners is we forget the word empathy. And we really have to empathize with our customer and understand that the vast majority of people live paycheck to paycheck, and that's okay. It's our job to figure out how we could be part of that paycheck every month and earn the right for their dollars. And that, notice how I said it, we have to earn that right. It's just not given to us. And that's done in your messaging and your creative and your advertising.
You and I, well, when we first met, we worked on a project for Hanson's, and I'll never forget that language that you used is earning the right to your business. There was another one, of course, now I can't come up with it off the top of my head. Oh, I want the opportunity to earn your business.
Correct.
Something like that. And I just thought, wow, the words were so good, you know, earning the right to your business.
And it's funny because, you know, I know you favor Dan Kennedy, okay? And his wording is phenomenal himself.
He's brilliant, yeah.
So, I mean, it's really just speaking to people directly on the way they talk. It can't be the way you talk. Well, I can't say that. That doesn't sound like me. It's not supposed to sound like you. It's supposed to be palatable to them. And I always hope that people get that message across, that it's all about how it lands on the customer, not how it lands on you.
So earlier you mentioned mistakes that you learned from your mistakes over there and brought them over to Refloor so that you could just bypass the mistakes and grow fast. Like the Refloor will pass what you did. It took you 30 years to build Hanson's to whatever it was, $75, $80 million. You're going to do it in a fraction of the time. It'll happen this year.
We'll pass it this year. Well, we're already past it. Yeah, we'll pass it.
And so that's in what, 5 years, 6 years?
5 years.
How long is
We opened just a month before COVID, so we never really got started.
Yeah, Okay. So it's been 5 years. So what took you 30 years is now taking you 5 years. So now what are a couple of the things that you learned before that you were able to apply to ReFloor?
Well, I'll pull some different quotes from different people. Number one, a loser is a loser. And I don't mean that in a bad way. And it sounds meaner than what it is. If somebody is going to act like a loser in your organization, you're not going to fix it. And, well, we care about them. You owe it to your people to get the people that are bringing the company down out, because they can't grow if you have that loser on your team.
Interesting.
And that came from Glengarry Glen Ross, a loser is a loser. I don't really mean it that way, but if they're not committed in living your business alongside of you, you're not winning. And if you're not winning, you're losing. And if you can isolate the people that are bringing you down, the sooner you get that person off of your team, the better off you are. And, you know, it's now it's where it is, hire the right people, okay? Or get rid of the people that are slowing the company down. Second thing, there are great people that can't do the job. So they could be the best people in the world, kind and warm and caring. But if they're not putting the numbers up that you need done, you need to break up with that person and promote them to customer. And by promoting them to customer, you're doing them a favor and the rest of your team a favor. So that's the promote to customer thing. Third is if you're hiring somebody based on their experience, that's not enough. Hire the people based on their attitude. There's not that much you can't teach people, but an attitude you have for your whole life. So how many people had a bad attitude that you work with that magically went to a good attitude, Brian, in your past? Very few. Very, very few. Who you are is who you are. So if you want to build a winning team, hire great people with great personalities. Does that mean they have to be outgoing and like driven like me? No. But they have to be good souls. They have to be kind people. They have to be people that want, you know, that share your vision. And those are the things that we think about every single day. We really do hire to our core values. And by the way, we get fooled oftentimes.
Yeah, it happens. But the nice thing is they don't last.
They don't last.
What did you say to Megan? You said, hire fast, fire faster. What was that?
Hire fast, okay, fire faster.
Fire faster. She uses that all the time.
Yeah, because if you spend all this time, you know, oh, I've been interviewing, looking for the right person, and, you know, I have one scheduled today, I got one for tomorrow. No, schedule 8 today, 7 tomorrow, okay? Speed it up, because you don't have time to play fill in the spot, because if there's a hole in your organization, that means you have a leak. And if you have a leak and you don't plug that leak, it causes so many other problems inside. So to me, if you need to hire somebody, you better be interviewing. And, you know, I say to my people, I want 5 interviews per day, per location, every day when we need somebody. No less than 5. Because if you don't bring in people, there's a hole for a very long time. And then you have another hole, because while you're training up that new person, it's still a hole. So that period of time can go way longer than what you want. So those are some of the things that I've learned. Next thing is this, is if they don't have a fire under their ass, okay, the only one that's going to get burnt is you. So you want to make sure that they've got some degree of fire underneath them, that they just want to win. They don't have to be killers, but they got to have a winning attitude. They got to be excited when you're somebody else on your team is winning. And those are the types of things that we look for. And I think we've done a pretty good job of that.
Well, yeah, you've been scaling, and it's amazing to watch and to hear about it, and it's fun. We got to wrap this episode up. I didn't even get to all of the stuff I was supposed to ask you, by the way. So we may have to do a episode 250.5 or something, you know?
Yeah, we could do a part
in
two.
Between, a part two, yeah, a 250 part two episode. But I appreciate you, my friend. Hey, this will be an interesting question for you. What's the best advice you've ever gotten?
Start with the end in mind. I use it every day.
Yeah.
What's the end look like? So, you know, I asked this question. How many times do you build a house, Brian?
Once. Twice.
Twice.
Once.
Because first you're building it on paper.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay. So every stick, if, you know, when they were, yeah, I'm in the process of building my house right now. Okay. When they built those plans, every plug, every outlet, every piece of drywall, every stud, number of pieces of plywood, the roofing pieces, everything was pre-planned out before you started. So if you think of your business the same way and you build it on paper first, or starting with the end in mind, you will have a much better outcome than if you just try to wing it. And what I see all the time are all these business people who watch their boss do it and say, I'm going to do what they did. But they go in it without a plan, without that way of executing it. And if you think of those house plans and you say to yourself, I'm going to build my business on paper first, then go. That would be, so start with the end in mind is probably.
And you've given that advice before, and it's fantastic advice. Fantastic. Well, Brian, look, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you and being my first guest, being kind of the guinea pig of the Wealthy Contractor podcast, but look at, you know, look how far it's come, and appreciate all that you do for us here at the Wealthy Contractor. And, you know, everybody listening, hope you got a lot out of this. By the way, I haven't asked for a long time, but would you please go leave a review wherever you listen to pod? Brian just reminded me. I'm supposed to ask in every episode, Brian. And I need to start doing that more, because it'll help other people find the podcast. And it lets us know how we're doing. Brian always wants to know, how did I do? And I'm like, I don't know. It sounded great to me. But ultimately, it's up to you, the listener. And the only way that we know if we're on the right track is if you let us know. And the best way to do that is through your review.
Brian, I'm going to make a recommendation. If you like the podcast, any of the ones that I'm in or any of its other ones, please share it on your LinkedIn or on your Facebook or wherever it is. By sharing it, the reach grows exponentially. And sometimes people are like, well, I don't want to give my competitors an idea. And it's really quite the opposite. If you want to have good karma, you pass around good things. So if it helped you, you want to make it your business to help others. People gave me advice along the way, some of which I listened to, and of course, some of which I didn't. And some of that was a mistake. So please, if you like it, please write the 5-star review, share it on your media. And by the way, you're more than welcome to add me on your LinkedIn. Please do. Add Brian as well. It's real important that we know how you feel. And I just want to say thank you to all the people. And I'm willing to bet you it's been over 100 people that have written me private notes saying I've made a difference in their life. And for that, I want you to know how much I appreciate that. And it's part of the reason, besides Brian being a good friend, that I do these things. So thank you, Brian. And a lot of the people in the industry appreciate all you've done for them and how you've bettered their lives.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate that. All right, everybody. So until next time, this is Brian Kaskavalsian, and this is the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. Thank you all.
Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. For insights on skyrocketing your home improvement business and accelerating your journey to the success, wealth, and freedom you've always dreamed about, be sure to get your free copy of my best-selling book, the 7 secrets to becoming a wealthy contractor at www.thewealthycontractor.com. And don't forget to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. See you next time. This episode is brought to you by OneInFund. Tired of losing sales to slow, complicated financing? With OneLook by OneInFund, you get the only patented multi-lender platform built by home improvement pros just like you. One soft pull application gives every customer a real first through third look. No gimmicks, no endless counters, just real buying power from lenders that actually fund deals. No more chasing approvals or losing sales to partial approvals and clunky experiences. OneLook streamlines financing so you can sell more faster. Plus, AI-powered insights help you close smarter, boosting your approval rates and commissions. More approvals, more sales, more money in your pocket with people who speak your language. Visit OneAndFund today and start closing bigger deals with ease.